Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Blog Talk Workforce Central, Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by the National Association of Workforce Boards from Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Ron Painter, and we've got a really timely, conversation that's coming up today with a couple of people that I absolutely adore in this business. It's one of the fun things I get to do, hang out with people on the radio that I really, really love to chat with, but we've got a couple of experts today. We're going to be talking about business engagement, something that is really, really at the one of the core pieces of the new Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, which we will hopefully refer to during the show as INO. So if you hear us talking about INO and you're trying to figure that out, it's the Innovation and Opportunity Act. I think those are two very, very keywords in this piece of legislation. So I'm going to, first of all, say that our guests are in California, and I know for Selena, I'm really happy that she got up. It's morning, I know, out there. It's before noon, and that's really, I'm really so proud of her to join us before before noon. Let me introduce our guests this afternoon with us today is Dr. Christine Bosworth, who is the co-founder of Business U, and she is a commissioner and an active executive officer on the Los Angeles County Workforce Investment Board, and she earned her doctorate degree from UCLA in educational leadership, and she's also going to be moderating an issue session at NAWB's upcoming forum called Putting Business to First, and also facilitating a couple workshops. So, Dr. Bosworth, Christine, welcome.
I'm thrilled to be here, Ron. Thank you.
And joining her is, a familiar voice, a familiar friend to certainly us at NAWB and to many of you, and that is Selena Shands-Gratigan, the president and CEO of Full Capacity Marketing and a co-founder of Business U. Selena has been involved in workforce development over the past 15 years and was a huge part of our launching the very successful WorkforceInvestmentWorks.com website that helped us tell the story of what was going on during the recession, and certainly as we led the process of getting the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, INO, through Congress. Full Capacity Marketing has won numerous international awards, including 12 Davies, which are the industry recognized recognition for excellence in website design. Her private sector portfolio includes brands like Jack in the Box, the National Football League, Gerber, and Bud Light. From there, small companies and entrepreneurial startups. So, Selena, welcome as well.
Oh, thanks, Ron. So great to be here with you.
It is awesome, and I appreciate you guys hanging out. Really, this is the core. Business engagement is one of the cores. I think the system's been debating like what is, who is the customer and all of that for quite some while. I think it's really become clear over the last few years that business is, but Selena, Christine, can you share a little bit with me about how you've been involved in workforce development?
Sure. Ron, it's Selena here. So, again, thank you so much for the opportunity. And also just want to thank you for your leadership, too, with NAWB in advancing the mission of workforce development, which is so critical. We're so excited about the new legislation and the opportunities that it brings. And as you said in the intro, I've personally been around for 15 years in the industry, and workforce development is just one of the three vertical markets in which we focus at Business U, along with education and economic development. And the reason we select those missions is because when you look at the collective mix of the three, it really does help a community thrive and can also influence the success and growth of business and industry, and that's a big focus of the new legislation.
You know, at Business U, also what we do to assist that is by building capacity and sustainability through regional business engagement strategies, which we're hearing about that all over, in every state we go to. We also do this through customer relationship management technology and professional development learning events. And what's important about all of that is it results in attracting business as a partner in sector strategies and work-based learning, as a customer with business services, and, of course, and as a funder to invest and leverage that we cannot forget about.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And, Christine, you have been a part of that, of workforce development. This is what, your sixth, seventh year with the L.A. County Workforce Board?
Exactly.
Awesome, and some great work out there.
There sure is. There's some dedicated folks out there.
Yeah, there is. There's some great people out in L.A. Selena, I guess I'll turn this question to you first. Lots of workforce organizations, lots of conversation about business engagement, and I am guessing there's a multitude of definitions about what we mean when we say business engagement. When you
Yes.
look at how that's being discussed, how that's being defined,
mm-hmm.
Give me some thoughts on what you think is the, I guess, if there's such a thing as correct definition or how you define that.
Sure. And, you know, what's that old saying, Ron? People do what they get measured on, right? And so when you look
Absolutely.
At the right? So you look at the current legislation under Workforce Investment Act, you know, what we see around the field is it really influencing how that is defined. And so where it is now, what we see it as is very much focused on preparing job seekers to get them employment ready, you know, for the needs of business and industry. And that's certainly at the core of workforce development, but it also is not the full picture or framework for a real business engagement. And what we see across the country is when folks go from the workforce system to go and engage businesses, it's somewhat restricted in their ask in that they'll say, well, have you got any job orders or maybe you need training? And that does a couple of things that actually causes issues in the minds of the business prospect or customer. First, it's a preconceived solution about what they can do for us to meet our current performance metrics. So it's not a customer-centric model. And secondly, it really does very little to uncover what the business may actually need at that point in time. So what that does is diminish our credibility and our ability to build long-term relationships. And that's really the end game in business engagement. And so when you look at the new legislation, it really does provide an opportunity to be more strategic beyond just a job order or preparing a job seeker. It requires us to think broadly about how we engage business, as Christine said earlier, as a customer in business services or a referral out to one of the other verticals. For example, if I'm going in to meet with a business and they say, you know, I have absolutely no need for workforce at this particular point in time. I do, however, need capital formation and a marketing plan. So we have a situation there where we can say, well, okay, call me later when you're hiring, or we can refer out and build a network of regional partners that can help build and grow that business and its immediate needs. And that's where we need to get as a system.
And Selena, let me do a quick follow-up question. I mean, I know that oftentimes when people are talking about Apple or any really of the tech companies, they're talking about mm-hmm. this really integrated conversation with business so that they're developing product, they're developing services that maybe the business isn't even yet aware that they need. But it's
exactly.
that conversation, right? That becomes the critical part, leading with the discussion.
Absolutely. And when you think about all the customer touch points that we have with business and industry, you know, a lot of times we'll think, well, we're going to get them to the table and talk about sector strategies and things of that nature. All of that is well and good, but also think about all the other people within the organization that touch a business customer, whether that is a job developer, whether it's a Workforce Investment Board staff that is working on a special grant, our board members, you know, even the people out with our partners within the career centers or the AJCs, as we're calling them, you know, Voc Rehab. You got a lot of people out there talking to business and industry. The issue is we're not doing it in a strategic, standardized way that can allow us to garner information about what the market really needs. And that's where we need to go in terms of elevating our game, again, beyond just preparing the job seeker. The business has a lot of needs. And so if you go in with a preconceived ask of, hey, here's my workforce portfolio, and you got to partner with us or you've got to become a customer, and that's not their need, we've just lost an opportunity to build that long-term relationship.
You mentioned elevating the game. And Christine, this is your private sector work, looking at your role on the LA Workforce Board. I mean, you have an interesting seat in this conversation around business development, business engagement. How do you see ways, or what are the ways that you see that the workforce system can respond to this new focus, or I shouldn't say new focus, but a more defined focus on business engagement?
Right, a refocus. Well, it goes without saying, these are exciting times in our world of workforce development in whatever seat that you might be sitting in. And INO provides the workforce system with the opportunity to reinvent itself, and that's really exciting right now. We have the opportunity to collaborate with regional colleagues and partners in ways that we have not done before. So it provides for more flexibility with program innovation, and like you just mentioned, a sharp focus on business engagement and their corresponding performance metrics. And that's a really hot topic right now that we really need to even talk about at a deeper level. Mm-hmm. And it points to multiple ways that the system will need to respond with regional approaches, sector strategies, and business services that traditionally have not been offered through the American Job Center network. So these are exciting times, and they're also challenging times, and we need to approach them and confront them head on.
But I guess one of the questions that would arise is, so we've been living with WIA for as I mentioned, since 98, a lot of conversation over the last 5 years, focus on dealing with businesses. Aren't boards already engaging businesses? Aren't they already doing these things?
That's such a great question, Ron, and we're asked, actually, and I, you know, in our travels nationally. But data does show that while there are pockets of success, as we all know, within the workforce system, overall the level of strategy and operations required to elevate business engagement is not taking place across the board, you know, and that's disturbing. There is still separate outreach, separate services, separate operational structures from workforce, education, economic development, you know, the three verticals that were spoken about earlier, and engaging industry and business partners. And just think about this for a second. Just think about the workforce vertical and the potential of duplication, as well as the reality among those that interface with business, such as job developers, workforce investment board staff, that may be assigned to a special grant or sector strategies. And how about the rapid response coordinators and vocational rehab specialists? I could keep going on and on. But all of them are more than likely experiencing different processes, different systems, and as importantly, as was said earlier, different requests going out to the business customer, which you have to admit, Ron, that can be quite confusing for a potential prospect.
I would agree. Selena, I mean, you've been knocking around. I mean, don't boards already do this? I mean, you've been working with a number of boards.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, there definitely are, I think there are a lot of boards out there that are high performing that are putting business as a customer, without a doubt. But generally what we see across the country, when you look underneath the curtain, it requires a B2B or business to business operational structure to really impact the market in a way that you're going to build a long-term relationship with the business. And typically what we see is, when you look behind the curtain, is boards may be measuring customer satisfaction, but they have no idea of their market penetration rates and who they're actually impacting. We did a qualitative analysis of business engagement in California, and California, of course, Christine and I are partial because it's our state, but they're just not afraid.
It's our home state. What can we say?
California is just not afraid to look underneath the curtain and say, hey, what are we not doing well and what could we be doing better? So we did this qualitative analysis where we interviewed various executives and business engagement specialists up and down the state within the workforce vertical. And what we got back was typically what we see across the country. So we had 80% of the business services teams work independently from rather than collaboratively with their WIB or other American job centers within the region. So, again, it goes back to that, creating a duplication environment where you may have one department going out and saying, hey, support a youth internship program or hire this candidate or attend a job fair. So the disconnected customer touch points are derived from a lack of organizational structure, and that's happening 80% of the time. Also in the survey, another interesting point, Ron, was that 100% of those that we talked to did not have a documented process map to identify, like, who's doing what within the organization for business and industry, mapping out their roles and responsibilities so that you could have this sort of continuum of a customer experience. And that, again, that creates duplication, frustration among the business customer. I mean, how many times have we heard businesses say this? Well, you're from the same organization as so-and-so, just a different department. Can't you guys just get it together and give me one phone call? And so it really creates, you know, some issues there in terms of duplication and operations. We just are really driven by funding streams. Okay, I've got it. And when you look at the funding streams, again, it goes back to all about preparing the job seeker. So customer satisfaction it gives you one snapshot of where a customer's head is at a certain point in time, but it gives you no information on how you're impacting the market in terms of getting business as a customer, partner, or funder within your region. And that's what the data shows.
Let me step out half a second and remind folks that you are listening to Workforce Central, Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by the National Association of Workforce Boards in Washington, D.C. My guests today are Dr. Christine Bosworth and Selena Shands-Gratigan, who are the founders and managing partners for Business U, and we're talking about business engagement in the workforce development system. Selena, tell me a little bit more about you guys did the survey out in California. You know, tell me, like, were there some other things that you guys learned about? We hear a lot about the brand. I mean, are there things that you guys learned about from business?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So, we do all of this right to engage more businesses in our mission. And at the end of the day, we're no different than, say, Coca-Cola, who is trying to build market position. In other words, if we say Coke has a great brand, we mean, okay, there's an awareness of the brand, there's an understanding of its products and services, there's a value to the point that I'll buy Coke. And that's, when you look at that model, we're no different. Market position in our world means there's an awareness of our organization, there's an understanding of the mission, there's a value in that mission to the point that we will engage with you as a customer, partner, or funder. So it's the same exact model. So one of the things we do is we do baseline brand surveys across the country, because if you're going to build a business engagement team, you have to understand the current market perceptions of the businesses in the community and how they view your workforce organization. And so what we have found is quite staggering. Nationally, there's about a 6% aided awareness of workforce boards and 3% unaided awareness.
Wait. Tell me, like, what do you mean by aided awareness? Because that when I'm holding up a card in front of their face saying, what is aided?
So aided awareness would be, let me start with unaided. Unaided would be a question like, a survey question like, do you know of any organizations within your region that offer no-cost or low-cost employment and training solutions? That would be a question. And
okay.
You would hope that the name of that workforce board or the American Job Center would come up, you know, as one of the top. And then a follow-on question to that would be, have you ever heard of, and then you actually give the name of the workforce board or the AJC. And so what we're saying is that if we give them the name in the survey, there's a 6% aided awareness level. If we don't give them the name, there's a 3%. And then with the American Job Centers, what we have found a little bit higher, between 10 to 13%. But here's the rub, Ron. You know, awareness is just the first element of building market position. So the next level is, well, what do they do? And so those that are aware, less than 3% can articulate some elements of the mission of the board and the American Job Centers. And it's all based, the perception is they serve job seekers. So clearly we're not getting the message out.
And I want to come back. I want to save some time because I do want to talk to you about, I mean, one of the things in the I&O is a new measure, a business engagement measure. So I want to come back and ask you about that. But what I'm hearing, what I think I'm hearing you say, and I'll put this out there and you all can correct me. I mean, Selena, one of the things that you have taught me is to think about the customer's language, so that part of this transition is not more businesses learning workforce development speak, right? It's really more critical that we learn the language of business. We learn this, what is their pain point? How do I discuss that pain point? And we translate that into our vernacular, kind of like, you speak, we'll do the transition or translation. I mean, is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, we love that quote. You said it in the Business U video, and it's just one of the most poignant quotes I've ever heard, and that is very true. So just a closing point on that data, and what it tells us is that we have not in general as a system developed the right strategy and operationalized a structure to help businesses understand who we are, what we do, and why they should engage with us on any level, whether that's as a customer, a partner, or a funder. And, you know, and you talked a little bit about performance metrics. I don't think customer satisfaction can get you there, Ron. When you're really looking at a B2B, business-to-business operational structure, which is what we have to think of in elevating our game, right now, most boards just measure customer satisfaction, again, because it's required by the Workforce Investment Act. And that customer sat, there's a lot of challenges with customer sat metrics in that it's one snapshot in time, one snapshot of a customer. It doesn't measure at any level market position, which is what we've been discussing. And, you know, going back to that survey that we did in California, 66% of organizations share that they have either no goals around business engagement, and 33% said, well, we do measure things, but it's more in-process metrics like number of contacts, number of calls made, which, again, doesn't get you to what is really my market position within my region. And that's where we need to get to. And,
when you do that and you're talking about – you mentioned different pieces of the organization are contacting a business and maybe they're aware or not aware of everything going on. I mean, this is almost, right, the example of, the dentist's kids having bad teeth or the cobbler, you know, the shoemaker's kids not having shoes. I mean, for a system that is about skilling and education, in your observations, I guess two questions. One, do you all agree that we don't do a great job internally training and building capacity? And what are you guys what are you guys proposing, or what are you doing, what are you proposing we do about this training staff around business engagement?
That's also a really a good question, because one of the more startling statistics in the study that Selena just referenced that was based out here in California is that over 90% of business-facing staff did not have an onboarding process or any type of professional development for their specific roles. And of those who received some form of training, it might have come from a program that is not outcome-driven or from an organization that has identified competencies but without third-party validation to support the outcomes. And again, with further review of that, they're still advocating that preparing the job seeker is business engagement, which really does not move the needle, but instead keeps us doing business as usual. And as you know, Ron, and your, some of your listeners that are out there, at Business U, we are passionate about moving that needle, which is why we are currently seeking third-party validation through the International Association of Career Education and Training for our business engagement training programs. And this requires a systems approach to professional development and is an essential part of operating an accredited education training program. It's a rigorous process, as we all know, going through a self-study accreditation, but it's really necessary to have validated outcomes to effectively engage the business community and not to only achieve but exceed performance results that are measurable.
That makes sense. It's the same sort of thing, yeah. Right? When we're looking at learning providers, we kind of want to know, well, who's the who's the accrediting body? How do we know that this is an industry recognized certification? Okay.
Yeah, and not just that, you want to make sure that those outcomes are measurable and sustainable. You want to make sure that they've gone through a rigorous process, that they align with the learning that's taking place. That's professional development. That's how you can differentiate between the programs out there. And there's a lot of great programs out there, but how rigorous are they, and how do they match the outcome that's going to be measurable? Because many things are coming down the pipe that we will have to measure, so we might as well start talking about it now. And like what you said, that language, you know, the quote that you use, I'll be honest with you, we've used it many times in our professional development sessions because it makes perfect sense.
Selena,
we give you credit for it, John.
Yeah, we do.
We do give you credit for it, but we do use it. It's one of our opening lines. But Ron, too, just another point.
I am honored. So, Selena, talk to me a little bit more about what.
You're all over the place. Ron, one other point.
Talk to me a little bit more about what you guys are doing. I mean, how is the kind of training that you're doing? How is that kind of, you kicked it off? It's structured.
Sure. Well, Christine will get into that in a moment, but I did want to make one other quick point is that, you know, a lot of times what we see in workforce development is you got a lot of staff that are wearing dual hats. So you may have a staff that is part-time working with a job seeker and part-time working with a business, and then you have staff maybe that are dedicated specifically to business. It is a mistake to assume that those staff, one, all understand how to work a business-to-business operational structure and engage business at that level, but two, it's very difficult for a staff member to wear a job seeker hat and then put that aside and only speak the language of business and work with business in a completely different way. That's where we run into, Christine, I know what your thoughts are, but when we train in boot camp, that is really one of the most difficult things. We're constantly slapping that job seeker hat
That's
off
right.
your head.
And what's really interesting is that when you start doing that shift, that perspective, that different lens of looking at things through the demand side of the house, there's these light bulbs that go off, and there's excitement to begin the work. That is a big challenge that we do see. It's not any area or any board or any structure organizationally. It's really just the culture that people walk in with a job seeker hat on.
So Ron, here's an example for you that is really an eye-opening for, let's just say that you a lot of times staff will go back to the same businesses over and over again and ask for a job order. So in this model, it's completely different, and you're asking what is the greatest need for the customer and then finding a solution, you know, to sort of take it from there. So it really is a whole different slant in what we do in boot camp. We teach them things like, how do you develop a approach talk track for a C-level executive? So let's say you have no contacts within the organization. How do you find commonalities among the mission between what you're doing and what that business is doing to be able to go in and have a conversation and build credibility? That's really different than asking for a job order.
Yeah, and also it's really important that the boots on the ground really start looking at data and the power of harnessing that data. That is so key, and asset mapping. You know, it's so interesting, wherever we travel to and speak at, it's about, when you talk about assets, have you mapped them? Are you working with your regional partners to do that? We really get over 90%, if not more, that say no, and they're very excited to begin that work. Of course, there's all the consultative selling that we've been talking about. That's an absolute must. And we also do a lot of B2B outreach using technology, and that's really important now, you know, really using customer relationship management tools, you know, to make you efficient, to work cross-regionally for that, and, of course, e-marketing and social media. And then, of course, we offer, as you had asked earlier, we offer a much bigger, more intensive training that goes into all of that in a three-day session.
I you know, we've been, as I said, we've been discovering this whole idea of business as a customer, other customers in the system, and it is really, I think, pointing out how complex this business has become. Because, like mm-hmm. other businesses, we've got to differentiate who is the customer. I actually think there's four in the system, but we've got to differentiate them and then talk about them differently. That also
right.
brings up, Christine, Selena, coming back to the question of measure. It also comes back to, once you do that and you've trained your staff, you're going out there with a consistent message. Do we, what are the measures? And hold that thought, because I've got somebody on the line who has a question for the two of you. Let me tune in. Corey, can you hear me?
I can.
All right. Corey, welcome. And you've got Christine and Selena on the phone. You're live. Go ahead, ask the question.
Selena, hi. It's Corey Carolla at Kinexus. How are you?
Hi, Corey Carolla. Nice to hear your voice.
You too. Hey, got a question for you for the listening audience and looking for your tune on it. When you're talking about the staff, training of the staff, do you feel like it might be the route to go to look for a resident expert in the from private industry to learn the background of workforce development and be able to speak that language, or vice versa, take someone from traditional workforce development and teach them essentially what the language and the speed of private industry?
Oh, what a great question.
Great question, Corey. Kind of, are we trainable? I like
right.
that question.
I say yes. I say absolutely.
I mean, of course, if you go to the university and boot camp, then potentially, yes.
Yeah,
equal opportunity for all.
Right, right.
All right,
but no,
Christine,
really,
Selena?
Yeah, no, I think you know, speaking the language of business and understanding their world is definitely a shortcoming overall within any public sector organization, be it workforce, education, it doesn't matter. It is a cultural shift that has to take place from top to bottom. So it could be, you know, something like, well, we've got a strategic plan that says business is our customer. But when you look, again, underneath that curtain and look at their operational structure, they're really serving the job seeker. So we haven't given staff, I think, the opportunity with the right strategic business engagement plan, operations, the technology, and the professional development to succeed. So I do think that people are trainable, and I think that you also always have to have business as the voice of the customer driving your discussions, whether you're gathering information on a needs assessment or looking at trends or talking with your board members, et cetera. So if you use business as a guide, then, you know, yes, people are definitely trainable, and we've actually worked with folks from across the country who have a big business and sales background, and they adapt to this model very easily. I'll just say that.
And
cool,
also,
Corey.
You know, yeah, and hi, Corey, it's Christine.
Hi, Christine.
Hi. And also what we've seen, the professional development, sessions that we've conducted, around the nation, is if you give an individual the opportunity to learn what is important out there and the tools that they need to succeed in their role, they will learn quickly. They will be excited about the work. They will be themselves engaged to participate. And we've seen those light bulbs go off over and over again, as I mentioned earlier.
But the support has to be there from leadership.
Yes.
So, one of the calls to action I'd like to really make to the field is, are you really doing business engagement, or are you just preparing the job seeker? How is your operational structure really aligned for a business-to-business model where you are speaking the language of business, understanding their critical needs, and being able to fulfill that need? And here's the rub, whether it has anything to do with workforce development or not, so that you can build credibility and a long-term relationship. That's the challenge to the field, Ron, as we see it.
Cool. Corey, thanks for the question. Selena, Christine, we have a couple of minutes left. I want to come back to the issue of measures. So let's say that we, and I happen to know Kinexys is a pretty good model of looking at the business as a customer, but let's say that we've done that, we've gotten the staff, they understand the importance and criticality of business. How do we measure our engagement? I mean, how are you guys suggesting to folks they measure that engagement? How do we know it's effective?
Sure. Well, to really do this well, you need technology. And so one of the things we've done at BusinessU is develop a customer relationship management tool that is specifically geared into working across these three verticals, workforce, education, and economic development, and building through the operational processes automated measures that allows them to know, are they impacting the market, or and it automates many of the tasks as it should be. Some key things that we think are important if you're looking at a B2B model is, yes, you're going to certainly look at your number of calls, but things like your close ratios, referral rates, services provided. Are they aware of your organization and instilling? So when we do our needs assessment in the CRM, we're asking them questions. Had they ever heard of us? What they know about the organization? So you're constantly getting that feedback. And we do different levels of needs assessment to understand where that business is in its current cycle. Is it an entrepreneurial startup? Is it in growth mode? Is it downsizing? Is it stable but need efficiencies, so that we can match those referrals across the network? And that in itself is a measure as well in terms of how we are collaborating. At the end of the day, though, and this also should be automated in any tool that you're working with, is what is my market penetration rate among your high-growth sectors? So if we've identified manufacturing, healthcare, et cetera, how are we really impacting the market? How many of those, what percentage is partnerships within our sector work, apprenticeship, work-based learning opportunities, all of those things? So you get a sense then that, there's an alignment, Ron, from their strategic plan all the way down to their business engagement team, and then how you measure the market position through their operational structure.
I also want to add one more metric that sometimes we're not paying attention to in the workforce system because we're bogged down, we're wearing many different hats, and we only have so many hours in the day to get things done, and that is inquiry to response. When we do get an inquiry in or, a potential prospect, how soon are we to respond? How are we responding? How does that look like? What is the process that we refer it out? All of that needs to be measured for continuous improvement.
Right. That might not matter for the job seeker, but for the business customer, mm-hmm. You bet that's important.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it's a way of measuring customer service at a much deeper, much more meaningful level that then you can train on and improve.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting the high sign from Donna Riles, who is at the controls today, as always, keeping us connected and on track. So, Donna, thanks as always to you. Selena, Christine, I want to thank you for joining us and give you just a couple of seconds if you have any closing thoughts. right after you promise me you're going to come back, right? We're going to come back and talk more.
Oh, Ron, always great to talk with you. And again, thank you for, you know, understanding that this is a huge issue and also for your partnership with Business U. We're very much looking forward to seeing folks at the forum this year and hope everybody attends the amazing forum where you can connect with your colleagues. We'll certainly be there. Christine's moderating an issue session, and we have several workshops together and quick shops and
pre-cons
and all kinds of fun things. So thank you so much, Ron, for the opportunity and, again, for your leadership on this. It's always a pleasure to work with you at NAWB and just really have such gratitude for all you're doing in our nation's capital.
Oh, absolutely. And thanks, Ron. Really, on behalf of all of us here at Business U, we really thanks for allowing us this privilege today to share part of this hour with you and your audience. It's really been enlightening to even hear the questions that you're asking. It shows you have the pulse on what we need to really focus on. Thanks again.
Well, I want to thank you guys for joining me today and also for being with us at the forum. Selena, I hope that's one of those unaided brands that people know. Forum, NAWB, Washington Hilton, March, the end of March. I hope people are going to join us. You guys are going to be there. They're going to get an opportunity to hear you and hopefully catch you in the hallways and talk more about business engagement. I want to thank my guests, Dr. Christine Bosworth and Selena Shands-Gratigan from Business U, for joining me. You've been listening to Workforce Central Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by the National Association of Workforce Boards. Till we're together again, be safe and have a great time.